There is no other way for you to get well. Believe me, if there was another way, I'd tell you, there is no other way for you to get healed emotionally than through forgiveness. You say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, who said it's about deserving? You don't deserve to be forgiven by God, but He forgives you. Forgiveness is not about justice. It's about getting on with your life. It's about doing the right thing. And you forgive because you want to get on with your life. You don't want them to control you anymore. And if you keep angry at them and you keep bitter at them, guess what? You're going to be controlled by them the rest of your life.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue in our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick shows us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When a Marriage Has Ended.
There are three things you always want to pray for a friend who's hurting. And these three things are the next three verses. The first thing you want to pray for a friend is help them, Lord, to recognize your presence. Help them to realize, to recognize that you're with them. Recognize God's presence. That you realize, help, Lord, help my friend to know that you're here with them. Help them to feel that God is not distant. He's not far away. He's not aloof. He is near. He is here. He is alive. He is real. And you are not alone. That's the first thing people need to hear when you pray for them. Lord, help them to feel your presence. Help them to know you're here. Because when you're going through a divorce, believe me, you feel all alone. You feel very, very alone. And so the first thing you pray is, Lord, help them to realize your presence, that you are here with them. The Bible says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. God draws close when our heart is breaking. So we pray, help them to realize your presence. The second thing you want to pray is, Lord, help them to receive your grace. Why? Because grace is what they need to make it. Grace is the power to see it through. Grace sustains you. Grace is the energy that helps you to keep on going when you feel like giving up. Grace is the power to change. God's grace in your life is what you need when you got nothing to give. And so we say, Lord, I don't want them to just know you're here. I want you to fill them with your grace. Help them to receive your grace. Jesus is in the business of mending broken hearts. And here's what the Bible says. Let us approach the throne of grace, that's God, with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He said, we can come to God with confidence. God, I need your help. And we receive that kind of grace. And that grace is the power to stand up under sorrow and stress. So, Lord, help them to realize your presence. Help them to receive your grace. And the third thing you pray is, Lord, help them to release their pain. That's the third thing you pray. Lord, help them to express exactly how they feel, to unload their burdens, to ventilate, to get it off their chest. Say, Lord, help them to be able to put into words all the pain that they're feeling right now and to just express it to you. What are you doing? You are encouraging them to cry out to God. What does it mean to cry out to God? It means to come before God passionately and tell Him exactly how you feel. There's a prayer that I've prayed at least a million times in my life. Help! God, help me! I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. It's totally beyond my control. God, you gotta help me. You gotta help me in this. That's called crying out to God.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
What does it mean to cry out to God? It means to come before God passionately and tell Him exactly how you feel. There's a prayer that I've prayed at least a million times in my life. Help! God, help me! I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. It's totally beyond my control. God, you got to help me. You've got to help me in this. That's called crying out to God. And God loves it when you cry out to Him. Just like when a little child cries out to his father, Daddy, help. No loving father's going to go, I'm not listening to that. When a little child comes and says, Daddy, you got to help me. Any dad's heart is going to melt. And when you come to God and you cry out to God and say, God, you got to help me. I don't know where to turn and I don't know what to do and I can't figure this out and I'm scared to death and I don't have an ounce of energy left in me. God, you got to help. That is crying out to God. You need to help your friend be able to do that. The Bible says this, I cry out to God. I plead for His mercy. Hear the emotion in this? It's not, oh God, I really need your help. It's God, you got to help. That's crying out to God. I cry out to God. I plead for His mercy. I pour out my complaints before Him. Is it okay to complain to God? Absolutely. God wants to hear your complaint. In fact, He'd rather have you complain to Him than other people. When you complain to other people, that's called gossip. When you complain to God, that's called prayer. And God says, I can handle this. You can tell me your complaints. There's nothing you can't handle. The reason you have emotions, I've told you this before, is because God gave them to you. God has emotions, and you were made in God's image. If God wasn't an emotional God, you wouldn't have any emotions. But God gets angry, and God gets sad, and God rejoices, and God has all these emotions, and guess what? You were made in His image, and He gave you this emotional ability that animals don't have the full capabilities that human beings do. And so He says, you know, cry out, tell me your emotions. I pour out my complaints before Him and I tell Him all my troubles, for I am overwhelmed. And you know, Lord, the way that I should turn. The Bible says God wants you to give your complaints, your fears, your faults, your everything in your life to Him. In fact, the Bible says this in 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God. Not some of them, all of them. For He cares about what happens to you. God cares about what happens to you. Now, why is this so important? Because when you're going through a crisis, or you got a friend going through a crisis, like a divorce, you are a bundle of emotions. And you, in a divorce, you're going to feel hurt. You're going to feel rejection. You're going to feel despair. You're going to feel frustration. You're going to feel regret. You're going to feel failure. You're going to feel a whole jumble of emotion. And God says, I want you to just bring that to me and express them to me. And a good friend shows up shares the pain, and then supports you with prayer and says, Lord, here's what we're feeling right now. I'm scared to death, and I don't know what to do. And God, right now, life sucks. Life stinks. I don't like it, God, and it's killing me what's going on. And I'm mad. And you tell God exactly how you feel, and you support them with prayer. Now, the fourth thing you do as a friend, when you're helping a friend through a crisis, is you start with forgiveness. This is the most important issue that your friend is going to have to deal with in a divorce, is forgiveness. It's the far most important issue. You're going to have to ask forgiveness, you're going to have to accept forgiveness, and you're going to have to offer it. Why? Because if you don't deal with it, it's going to eat you alive. There are three common emotions that always happen in divorce: anger, guilt, and bitterness. All three of them always come up. And those emotions are worse than the divorce, because you can carry those the rest of your life, and they'll make you a bitter, angry person. And your heart will shrink. And bitterness and guilt over what you've done that you're ashamed of, and bitterness over what people have done to you that you hurt from, those two things will eat you alive. You can get over the divorce, but if you hold on to those three things, guess what? It's going to ruin the rest of your life. And the antidote to anger and to guilt and to bitterness are the same antidote. There's only one antidote: forgiveness. You ask forgiveness, you accept forgiveness, you offer forgiveness. And there is no other way you're ever going to get over your anger. There's no other way you're ever going to get over your guilt. And there's no other way you're ever going to get over your bitterness until you forgive and ask forgiveness and accept forgiveness and offer forgiveness. There is no other way for you to get well. Believe me, if there was another way, I'd tell you, there is no other way for you to get healed emotionally than through forgiveness. You say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, who said it's about deserving? You don't deserve to be forgiven by God, but He forgives you. Forgiveness is not about justice. It's about getting on with your life. It's about doing the right thing. And you forgive because you want to get on with your life. You don't want them to control you anymore. And if you keep angry at them and you keep bitter at them, guess what? You're going to be controlled by them the rest of your life. So you do it for your own sake. You must learn to let go. Now, how, as a friend, do I help my friend learn forgiveness, to ask, to accept, and to offer it? How do I do that as a friend? Well, you have to help them do three things. You might write these down. And it's the next three verses. To help a friend going through a crisis, they have to do these three things. Number one, you have to help your friend stop fixing the blame. Stop blaming. Blaming is the most worthless use of energy on the planet. Blaming has never solved the problem. Blaming has never made you feel better. Blaming has never lessened your pain. You've heard me say many times, you spell blame, be lame. And every time you blame, you are being lame. It is a total worthless thing. Don't ever spend another second of your life blaming anybody for anything, because that second is a second wasted. You got to let it go. And you got to let it go, and you got to stop saying it's all their fault, and you got to stop saying it's all my fault, because neither of those are helpful. The Bible says this: you are only hurting yourself with your anger. That's what Job said. You are only hurting yourself with your anger. Now, let me ask you again. I'm talking about how to help your friend, but let me ask you a question. Who are you blaming for your unhappiness? You know, if I just had a different boss, if my kids would just shape up, if my husband, if my wife would fill in the blank, if my mother weren't so, name it, and you're blaming everybody else. Friends, happiness is a choice. Just like love. Love is a choice. Happiness is a choice. You are as happy as you choose to be. I have been around the world, and I could take you to people in places and talk to people who are in far worse condition than you, and they're happy. Because happiness is a choice. Stop blaming other people for your unhappiness. You can't fix the problem while you're trying to fix the blame. You got to let it go. You've got to let it go. And you stop trying to blame others. Some people are trying to blame God for all their problems. God didn't cause your divorce. God didn't send you into bankruptcy. God didn't give you all your debt. You did it from poor choices. You overspent. That's how you got in debt. It's not God's fault you're in debt. The problems you have in your life are caused by other people and you. So don't blame God for your problems. Now, God will help you out of the problem. God will give you the solution to the problem. But as long as you're out there blaming everybody else for everything else, it's not that. We live in a broken world. Nothing works right on this planet. That's why we're praying for heaven. But you stop trying to fix the blame. The second thing you have to help your friend do is to confess their sins. To admit what they've done wrong, to admit their mistakes, to own up to it, because they're never going to get healed until they own up to it. They've got to confess their sins and ask for forgiveness. That's the second step to healing. My guilt overwhelms me, David said in Psalm 38. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too deep to bear. But I confess my sins, and I'm deeply sorry for what I've done. So they ask forgiveness from God. And if they need to ask forgiveness from somebody else to get rid of the guilt, then the third thing to do, and this is the most difficult point of all, you stop fixing the blame, you confess your sins, and then you offer forgiveness to those who've hurt you. You offer forgiveness to those who've hurt you, not because they deserve it, because they don't, but you do it because you want to get on with your life, because it's the right thing to do, because God has forgiven you, and because you're going to need more forgiveness in the future. Ephesians 4, the Bible says this, get rid of all bitterness, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, in a divorce, you're going to probably need to forgive other people besides your ex-spouse. You're probably going to have to forgive some cruel in-laws. You're going to probably have to forgive some judgmental friends. You may have to forgive somebody who stole your spouse. There will be other people that you're going to need to forgive. Martin Luther King once said, bitterness is blindness. It's blindness. Why? Because it blinds you to the truth. When you are bitter, you don't see things as they really are. You have a skewered vision of reality. And bitterness is blindness. You don't see the truth. One of the truths you don't see when you're bitter is that God can take every bad thing in your life and use it for good if you'll give it to Him. You don't see the truth that God can take even the stupid mistakes you've made, even your sins, even your willful disobedience, and He can turn that around and bring it about and use it for good in your life if you'll give it to Him. But you're not going to see that as long as you're bitter. It's blindness. And so as a friend, I'm going to try to help my friend covenant with God to say, I don't like this situation. I don't like this divorce, but I'm going to ask God to use it to make me better, not bitter. I want to be better, not bitter. Why? Because the pain is not going to stop until you accept the forgiveness of God and you offer the forgiveness to somebody else. You're just not going to stop. Number five, the fifth step you want to do is to suggest accepting reality. Suggest accepting reality. You want to help your friend accept reality, how things really are, not as the way they wish it would be, they'd like to be, they hope they'd be, but as they really are. Friends often have to tell the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. But the Bible says wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. Because a friend won't just, coddle you. A friend will tell you the truth. You show up, you sit down, you shut up, you be quiet, you share their pain at an appropriate time, you support them with prayer, you start them on the road to forgiveness. And then you suggest accepting reality. If the first step to freedom is forgiveness after divorce, the second step is acceptance. What am I talking about? What I'm talking about is you got to accept the fact that the past is past and it isn't going to change. And no matter what you do, no matter how much you dislike the past, how you hate the past, how you wish you could do it over, how it was different, how you'd like to rewrite it, the past is past. And reality is, it isn't going to change. And friends help their friends accept reality. The fact is, all of the moaning and all of the mourning is not going to change the past. And all of the wishing and all of the worrying is not going to change the past. And all the grief and all the guilt is not going to change the past. And all the regrets and all the resentment is not going to change the past. It's over. It's done. It's not going to change. You've got to accept reality. And that's part of moving on after a crisis. I've talked to so many people who they had a spouse, a husband or a wife, who walked out on them, was unfaithful to them, had an affair, remarried that person who they had the affair with. And 10 years later, they're still hoping and wishing they're going to come back. They aren't going to come back. And acceptance is the only way to peace. God's purpose has never been changed by the pain in your life. And no matter what happens in your life, it never changes God's purpose. God's purpose for your life has not changed. Not one bit.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much. Now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, it's always encouraging to hear how Daily Hope helps listeners like you, how it helps you mature in your faith. Let me read you a letter I got just recently from Sherry. She said, Pastor Rick, this ministry has literally saved my life. After a series of disappointments, I had lost all hope, and I saw no reason to go on. And that changed when I discovered Daily Hope. Now I hold on, praying expectantly. You know, that's the little acrostic we use for hope, H-O-P-E. She said, my circumstances have not changed, but my outlook has. And now rather than being depressed about where I am in life, I've learned to be thankful for this time of spiritual growth. I don't know what the Lord has planned for me, but I know it's good. And I look forward to a future walking side by side with Him and using this experience to help others through their own struggles. Gratefully, Sherry. Sherry, I can't tell you how much this letter means to me. You know, God will never let you down. He's with you every step of the way. And thank you so much for writing to me and let me know how God is working in your life. I'm praying for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. By the way, thanks everybody for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.